Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is my friend Zach Simpson, and we're going to have a discussion of the Uptown Neighborhood Cooperative Program. So are these all the, how many neighborhoods are going to be involved in it?
Well, hi, Cynthia. How are you today? Good to be on your show again. So when the program was first started, you may remember I came on your show a few months ago and talked about the Uptown Neighborhood Watch Program. Do you remember that?
Right. Yes, I do.
So I was trying to launch that in the spring of, 2020, and then COVID-19 hit, which put everything on the back burner. I ended up becoming well-versed in the use of Zoom, the Zoom conference app and program. And I scheduled a meeting for the Uptown Neighborhood Watch program in May. And the attendance, I got a lot of people that showed up. I was really happy for the first meeting. A lot of neighborhood residents showed up. And so for your listeners, the Uptown Neighborhood Watch Program initially was the Beverwyck neighborhood, Upper Washington Avenue, and Melrose. It was three neighborhoods. And actually, there was representatives for all three neighborhoods on that on the first Zoom meeting. So we talked about, the guidelines of the program. I talked about a lot of things, about the C-Click Fix reporting tool. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So C-Click Fix is a reporting tool that citizens of Albany can use to report issues in their neighborhood, like unsafe buildings, overgrown properties, where the grass grows over like a foot, graffiti, issues like streetlights, uneven sidewalks, sinkholes, trash issues, you name it, things that can be reported to the city and resolved. That is kind of what the Uptown Neighborhood Watch Program was designed for, was to get citizens to keep an eye on these neighborhoods. And at the time, it was the three neighborhoods. And, we got a lot of people were really excited about it. So we launched it in May, officially in May. And then in June, we had another meeting where we presented some of the data that we collected as far as, what was reported in each of the neighborhoods and how many issues were resolved by the city of Albany. And at the time, the city resolved 3.49% of all the issues, which I think the issues was about 130 issues. So they only resolved 3.49%, which was low. But, I think that the reason for that was there was that, remember the riots that broke out down in the South End?
Yeah.
So I think Department of General Services was really, sidelined with a lot of the cleanup that was resulted in that issue. And then, we hit them with a lot of issues. We reported a lot of potholes, sidewalks issues, property overgrown, trash issues, you name it. There was a lot of issues.
Jack, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Did you create this yourself?
Yes, I did.
Great.
I did. Reason being, COVID-19 happened. And I thought it was incumbent upon me to get this off the ground in some way, any any way I could. And Zoom was the way to do it. And the interest level was good. I'm really happy with the turnout. And you know, we're seeing some real data as far as the city helping us, you know, address some of these issues in our neighborhood. And so we're meeting again, just so your listeners know, we're meeting again on Thursday, July 23rd, via Zoom conference at 6:00. And we're going to talk about the progress report for the C-Click Fix and for the July 2020 month.
Now you have 3 neighborhood associations involved in this. Throughout the city of Albany, how many different neighborhood associations are there?
Well, just to clarify, it was at the meeting in June. There was a meeting in June, and at that meeting, I announced that 2 more neighborhoods were joining. Eagle Hill and Pine Bush are also now a part of the cooperative.
Okay.
So now it's
good.
It's five neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
5 neighborhoods.
Terrific. Great.
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you went for a coffee break or something. So you have 5 neighborhoods in your organization. That's amazing. So I think it's going to be important come January when the citywide races and the council races are going to be up for a vote. What do you see the impact would be to that of what you're doing?
I would certainly hope that, you know, members of city government as well as, you know, representatives are keeping an eye on the data I am producing because, you know, I think it was last year that the council passed the equity agenda, which was to ensure equity as far as resources,
yes,
you know, in neighborhoods. And, you know, this month, you know, there's 5 neighborhoods, and Eagle Hill and Pine Bush, they're relatively new to the program, so their issues haven't been addressed at all. Actually, the city's issue resolution rate for Eagle Hill is 0, and the issue resolution rate for Pine Bush is 0.
Mm-hmm.
But then the top of the list is Upper Washington, 33.33% of the issues that have been reported to the city have been addressed. And then Melrose has 29.22%, and then Beverwick is in third place at 14.29%. So this month, the issue resolution rate for the city of Albany is 17.40%. So we're basically giving the city each month a report card saying how you doing. And right now they're at 17.4%.
That's not very good, is it?
It's not, but there's room for improvement, and I'm confident that that number is going to go up, which is what the spirit of our program is. It's to collaborate with each other and collaborate with the city of Albany to get that number up to a higher percentage. Right now it's 17.4, but you know, the program has been in existence officially for just about 3 months. So, but the last month, the month before in June, it was 3.49%. So it's gone from 3.49% to 17.4 in a month.
Well,
but I hear you. It's a low number.
Right, but this, what you're doing is in its infancy stages. Ultimately, you will have 5 neighborhood associations in your group. overall, how many neighborhood associations are there in the city of Albany?
That's right. You asked me that question. I am so sorry. I think there's in the 20s, perhaps. I know that CANA, Council of Albany Neighborhood Associations, which I serve on the board, I think we represent about 20 of the citywide, count. I think there might be like in the mid 20s officially.
Okay.
So I got about five. So I have five.
Okay.
So that's a good amount.
Hey, that's a good amount given the fact that the entire world has been turned upside down. You know, I mean, to do something and do it innovatively, I mean, you can't hold meetings in bars or restaurants or meeting halls. And to do it using the technology, that in itself is
I was just gonna say that, you know, when there's a will, there's a way, and that's been my mentality my whole life. And I just wanted to mention one thing before I forget, is that the last meeting, John Clarkson, he is the president of the Pine Hills Neighborhood Association, and he indicated to the group an interest in Pine Hills coming on board, so it can become six neighborhood associations soon.
Great. You know, I think this is such a great thing, and, you know, you could always use Focus on Albany as a platform to get the entire city involved, because you're doing this single-handedly, and you're addressing the needs of the city, and I think it's a great thing. So since you started, and was your initial thought for doing this, has it followed the lines of what you were thinking, or has it changed the way you think and you're working on other issues besides your original game plan?
I think it's gone leaps and bounds beyond what I envisioned already. I am just thrilled that we went from three neighborhoods to five in a month, and then possibly six within the next month. And I was just thinking about, you know, it's incumbent upon me to care about the city of Albany. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that our neighborhoods are safe, that people really care about their community, about the well-being of each other, and being good citizens. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be in the next month or two, but it could be within the year. I'm thinking about doing a downtown neighborhood cooperative to focus on some downtown neighborhoods that really need some tender, loving care at this time.
Right. And I'm thinking particularly like the South End and
yes,
Arbor Hill. I mean, these are neighborhoods that to be looked at, need to be addressed. I think that's great. I think that's really great. So have any of the elected officials jumped onto your bandwagon yet?
Well, at the last meeting, I know that Council Member Mike O'Brien was in attendance, as well as Council Member Ginny Farrell, as well as Council Member Tom Hoey. Tom Hoey was on the call. So there was three out of the 15 council members were on the call.
Good.
Yeah, and also Ray Joyce, he's my county legislator. He was on the Zoom. And we also had Brian Hawley with the Albany Police Department. He's our community officer up here in the uptown area.
Now, you know, one of the issues that have been reported on, you know, this summer is the amount of violence, the amount of gun violence in the city of Albany. Have you encountered them in your group?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Have you encountered that issue in your group?
Oh, as far as the gun violence? I do believe we discussed, I do think it came up in talking in the group, but, I actually have joined the A Block at a Time, and I think it's Connect the Dots, Bridge the Gap, the Task Force for Gun Violence. It's a collaboration with Eva Bass. She is the community outreach coordinator, I think it's the title, with the mayor's office, and Danielle Hilly. She is the one of the founders of A Block at a Time. And so I am, unfortunately I missed the first meeting. I totally missed the first meeting, but I will be on the second meeting for the task force. But I was on the task force meeting for the fireworks issue. Now, have you had an issue with the fireworks?
Oh my God, people complain about that all the time.
Have you had any issues where you are at?
Well, it's kind of loud, but, I know it's the time of the year that people are going to, shoot firecrackers, and it's not the best thing in the world, but, I stay safe in my car or in my apartment, so I really don't have that big of a problem. The noise can be somewhat annoying, but it doesn't last forever.
Well, the one thing that really bothered me about the fireworks, particularly where it was after the 4th of July, was the amount of debris that was left behind that people didn't pick up in the city. I walked in the Beverwyck neighborhood, and I was on Bradford Street, Ontario, and West Street, and it was like people let off like the grand finale and just left all the garbage. And that really ticked me off. And they did that in Westland Hills Park, which is our park, near my house, my neighborhood, that we mm-hmm. represent here. And that really upset me. I mean, there needs to be some level of respect. That really bothered me about the fireworks.
Now, I know you come from the rural part of the county, you come from Bourne. When you were living in Bourne, when you were younger, did you ever think that you would be living in Albany and do all this community organizing?
Well, no. I always knew I was going to move to Albany. That was always on my radar. You said I grew up in Bourne. Actually, I grew up in Knox, which is the next town over. When I went to college, I left the hill to the big world, and I'm glad I did. And I really created a good life for myself here in the city of Albany, which is now going on a little over 20 years I've lived in the city of Albany.
Wow.
But no, if you, as far as getting involved with the community, no. This was something that really probably got triggered after my mom died and after Trump got elected president. That's when I started really getting involved. I had to.
Trump is national. What made you focus on local?
I needed to not get angry. I wanted to get engaged, and I wanted to make a difference, and I think I have. And that's why I got involved with the Democratic Committee, got involved with my neighborhood association, the Council of my Neighborhoods. I really dug in, and I'm trying to do as much as I can to better the city as a whole.
Great. So, as you add more neighborhood associations, when it comes election time, what do you envision?
As far as what?
Input from the candidates, input from the candidate for who's going to run for mayor. Do you think that what you're doing will have a big impact on the elections come 2021?
Well, I got to tell you, as far as, you know, citywide, each month that goes by, we produce a report card as far as how the city of Albany is doing. So I think it's getting noticed. I certainly think that it's useful. I think that it's good to keep a finger on the pulse of, you know, is there equity as far as services in these neighborhoods? Is there equity as far as responsiveness from the city in these neighborhoods? And I think that right there is statistics that I'm going to produce that the city may find useful. And they may, you know, as time marches on, I hope they collaborate a little more with me. And I think it would be a really good collaboration to share data back and forth and kind of talk about what our priorities are. But, yeah, I think it's going to be important as the year 2021 comes.
So when you issue a report card, what do you do with it? I mean, how do people know what your findings are?
So when I do a report, I do a flyer, and I share it to, I think it's about 8 different Facebook pages.
Okay.
I also do hand pass some of the flyers in my neighborhood. And I also provide it to the heads of the neighborhoods in which that participate in the program. And then they forward it on to their respective email lists. So I do get a good outreach as far as citywide. I also post it on the Nextdoor app, which is very helpful.
What's the Nextdoor app? I've never heard of it.
So it's an app that is here in the city of Albany, and you can sign up for it, and it kind of connects you to, I think, 26 different neighborhoods in the city of Albany. And every time you post something, it goes out to all of them. And I've definitely posted I posted a lot of our Focus on Albany podcast there. It's been really helpful.
Oh, terrific, terrific. So, I think this is a good thing. Let's talk about some of our previous podcasts. What's going on with Rapp Road?
So Rapp Road, next Saturday, we are having a meeting of the Rapp Road Historical Association. I'm a trustee with Rapp Road Historical Association. I and Stephanie Woodard, she's also with the Rapp Road Historical. We're putting together a PowerPoint presentation to present to the entire association the different traffic mitigation proposals that are currently on the table from the Pyramid Corporation in conjunction with the Town of Gilderland. There are several, but we are going to, you know, really do a presentation, put comments from the city, like on each of the proposals, that have been presented from the Town of Gilderland and Pyramid. And we are going to hold a vote and vote on what traffic mitigation proposal we are in favor of.
And what's going on with the Colvin Avenue, the former Key Bank?
So Stewart's has two different versions of a plan, which I don't approve of a vote at all, and I'm really not happy with Stewart's at this moment. I think they are really in bad faith as far as listening to input from members of the community. It's basically they have these two designs, and that's all they have to offer, and that's their attitude about it, and I think they're really doing a disservice to the neighborhood.
Wow.
I'm really not happy about it.
And the other issue, what's going on with the blood plasma center in Westgate?
Well, after, you know, my 2.5 year fight, Hannaford Plaza. After my 2.5 year fight, where I spoke up heavy at the council, at the planning board, at the Board of Zoning Appeals, I even sued the city with Councilman O'Brien and 4 other members of the neighborhood. There was a legislation passed to create a 1,000-foot setback from plasma centers from residential neighborhoods. So as of right now, after the council overrode the mayor's veto, first time in Albany history, that plasma center at this time cannot go into Hannaford Plaza. Cheers and applause.
Albany history?
Albany history.
Wow, that goes back many years, right?
Yeah, and I think it says, drives a real message home. You know, protect your neighborhoods, period. Protect your neighborhoods, loud and clear.
Wow. I'm truly amazed by the amount of work that you've been doing. That is terrific. So if anybody needs to reach out to you, if somebody wants to, from other neighborhood associations that are not part of your group, how can they reach out to you?
Oh, you know, if there's any other neighborhoods, uptown, downtown, midtown, that really wants to get involved with this organization, you can email uptowncooperative@gmail.com or call me directly at 518-253-5433, and I'd be happy to talk with you.
And I think it's going to be interesting as the months go by and the candidates for city office, you know, are going to run. I think this is terrific. And I hope you do make an impact on what you're doing. And I think with enough hard work, maybe you can do it. So, Zach, we're going to have to close for today. Your time is up. So we'll talk again. And you're listening to Zach Simpson. And what neighborhood association are you involved with?
Oh, so I am on the executive committee of Council of Albany Neighborhood Associations, and I am the vice president of the Upper Washington Avenue Neighborhood Association.
Okay, so you've been listening to Zach Simpson. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Focus on Albany, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a wonderful day, and thanks, Zach, for taking the time to be on the show. Bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye, everybody. Thanks, Cynthia, as always. Have a great day.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.